Lord, help with the word. Your presence is here, and I appreciate it. We sending out Larry and Mike. It's important. I felt it last night in prayer, so very important. And the deep moving of your spirit that came into my spirit. Help me, Lord, to correctly convey what you are saying and give us ears to hear. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Now, I have not, in all the time I've been preaching in Poway, I have never preached on Pentecost. And I'll tell you why. Deuteronomy 16:16, so that you'll have more of a clear understanding of what I'm getting at here. Deuteronomy 16:16. And what it's saying is that there are three times that the men had to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. He hadn't chosen it up to this point. They're still in the wilderness. Now, you have to think, and I'll be placing these in order from your viewpoint. The first one he calls unleavened bread. Now, that represents basic salvation. It includes the Passover, the unleavened bread, and the first fruits. That's the first great platform of salvation. Get that clearly in your mind. The first, then there's a second platform. And that second platform is called, we call it Pentecost. And the word penta means 50, because the Feast of Weeks was celebrated 50 weeks, a week of weeks, or 7 weeks, it's a week of weeks after Passover. At that time, the Jews came to Mount Sinai. So you've got the first step of salvation is through the blood of the cross. The second great step is by itself. There's not three feasts in it. It's by itself. It's Pentecost. The 50-day feast. 50 days after Passover. A week of weeks. 7 times 7 is 49, the 50th day. But there's a third area. The Feast of Tabernacles. Vi is in here. I've been teaching Rebecca about the three deaths and three resurrections so she can answer the questions she gets. But I don't think I have made it clear enough in the church. First salvation, then the Holy Spirit, then tabernacles, which includes the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles proper. Three great occasions. Now, in 1948, the Lord spoke to me about this third area. I wrote a booklet called The Temple of God. And by now it's got so large I had to divide it into The Temple of God and Christ in You, two books. But the other was a 19-page booklet called The Temple of God. That's in 1948. What I'm saying is that my message is new to the church at large and is this third area. I'm kind of preparatory, like a John the Baptist. I'm preparing the way for what God intends to do with His church. And as so, I've neglected Pentecost. I haven't brought you up in it. Some of you have come from Pentecostal churches and you know all about it. Others of you, I don't think, have a clue. Now, the important thing about Pentecost, according to the Bible, not according to religion, but according to the Bible, according to God, the important thing is speaking in tongues. Now, Audrey was telling me that Tammy Donahue, who is the general supervisor of the entire Foursquare organization, second only to Glenn Burris, who is the president, a very highly placed woman, has said that every licensed person, regardless of the level of their certificate, should either speak in tongues or be seeking to speak in tongues. She didn't say anything about the elders or anything about the council. She, as far as we know, but she did speak about all licensed people. Now, from my experience, which is about salvation, which is about 65 years now, because I became a Christian in 1945. So I've had about 65 years of experience. And a lot of that was in the Pentecostal movement. But I've had opportunity to evaluate speaking in tongues, to assess its value. And I'm here to tell you that between a church that speaks in tongues and one that does not, there's a difference you can feel. The one that does not may have a higher standard of righteousness within the church. And to us, we would say that's the better church. But we're not God. And Larry told us we're to leave our judgments. And God's been dealing with me about that, bringing things back to my mind. I say, Lord, take it. I don't want anything to hinder my pressing forward in Christ. And I hope you're doing the same. But there's no question in my mind that there's something real about speaking in tongues. Did you know the Christian church came into existence speaking in tongues? Did you know that? There were early pioneers called holy rollers. When I was saved, came into Pentecost in 1948. I was saved before that, 1945. But it was close enough that I could get the flavor of early Pentecost. Sister Good in our class, her husband got the baptism at Azusa Street. That goes back to 1906. So, and the people of the Foursquare at that time all knew Sister. Nancy can tell you about, went to the Life Bible College. She can tell you about that. She doesn't go back that far. But she's acquainted with Pentecost and the Foursquare. The Foursquare is a Pentecostal organization. No matter what they do or how they backslide or forward slide or whatever they do, they started from a lady named Amy Semple McPherson. And she paid a price, because in those days, the people that spoke in tongues came from the wrong side of the tracks. Poor people, illiterate in many cases, rough, tough, Bible-believing people. It was a holiness movement. And a lot of it was external. The women wore their hair in buns. No cosmetics were allowed. You come in with lipstick on, and the pastor would yell at you, "You Jezebel, get out of the church." They're not nice like we are. We got the charismatic tea party. They were not nice people. They were strong. After every service, they came up to the altar and, quote, tarried for the baptism. Well, as has happened to every genuine movement of God, we now are in an apostate situation. I have heard that in some Pentecostal churches, you cannot speak in tongues publicly. You do it privately. Why? You don't want to offend the nice people. So we've lost a lot because Jesus is not nice. Very rugged. Very down to earth. He understands the drunk and the gutter. He's not interested in ladies' tea parties where they get together and prophesy to each other and don't know what they're talking about. And that's not always the case by any means. I understand that. I'm drawing a long bow here to try to jar you because this is my first message I have ever given on Pentecost. Never before have I preached on Pentecost. Always been on these last three feasts. So, whether you're privileged or underprivileged, whatever the case may be, this is a very sobering moment. Now, last night I had quite a long touch from the Lord speaking to me about Mike and about Larry. And then Audrey had been telling me about what Tammy Donahue said, and I weighed that because I've heard all different things, like, you know, those people speak in tongues, but they don't live it, and tongues is of the devil, and tongues is of baby talk, and all this stuff has come into the charismatic movement, and we don't want to offend the nice people by speaking in tongues. Well, I'll tell you right now, in the name of Jesus the Lord, they are as wrong as people can be. Amen. Speaking in tongues, you can't jump from Passover to Tabernacles. You have to go through Pentecost. That's God's plan. You read it, Deuteronomy 16:16. All your males will come up here. The church was born speaking in tongues. Now, I have never made a big point that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't say that because there's a lot of good ministers of God that never spoke in tongues, and did their work and died, and whatever. But I'll tell you this. Until you speak in tongues, the Spirit does not have you. So, knowing the value of tongues, and I speak in tongues more than you all, I think I can say that, I am preaching about tongues. The early Pentecost says it never preached tongues, always preached Jesus. But I'm preaching it not as being the center of the gospel, but as being where this church is right now. See, Audrey prophesied 2 months ago, we're in a winnowing. Well, in a winnowing, the chaff is blown out of the wheat. So, whatever. I think the Lord wants us to turn a corner. He wants those who do not speak in tongues to begin to seek. A man named Stiles, as pastor at the Hayward Assembly of God, came out with this brilliant idea. If you're a Christian, you don't have to seek anymore. You just see them in a chair and told them to speak in tongues. Well, okay. But I tell you, there was something about the seeking I remember Lloyd Marlowe, he's dead now, he's a pastor, Assembly of God in Chula Vista. And I believe he's the one that told me he couldn't speak in English for 3 days. I mean, when these people tarried, when the fire came down, they got more than just speaking in tongues. They got in baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think Stan has shown to me a certain adeptness at bringing people through, whether you want to call it the baptism. Well, the scripture says, baptized with the Holy Spirit, so why change it? If he and Lloyd want to devote a Tuesday night or a whatever, or a Sunday night, it takes time and prayer to get with people and pray until they finally break through. So if you have never spoken in tongues, I'm telling you, you're going to have a difficult time relating to the people in this church who do, because there's a difference. It isn't that one is more righteous than the other. It's that one experience came from God. I want to express that on you. It's not an option. It's not something cute that we do in our denomination. God bore the church in tongues. And I think you'll all agree with me that God knows what he's doing. Could you say amen to that? God knows what he's doing. Well, if you have never spoken in tongues, I would suggest that you tell Stan that you'd like sometime, when it's his choice, when he can, to work with you. Doesn't have to be Tuesday or Sunday, it can be any time, until you break through. It's easier for young people. It's hard for an old turkey like me, I tell you. I'll tell you my experience. I was in Bible school, as Assembly of God Bible School, and I didn't know diddly squat about Pentecost or anything else. I'd been saved in the Marine Corps. I was not raised in church. The Lord called me to preach in 46, saved in 45, 46, and I got out of the Marine Corps the same year, 1946. Well, I went to Bible school because the Lord called me to preach. He came in the room, and I had a tremendous supernatural experience. There was no other guys there. I came in early and was praying. So we had a Bible study every night in the Japanese barracks, and the Lord came in. I'm all alone, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, wow. And the Lord didn't say anything. I said, are you calling me to preach? Yeah. Okay. So I told the leader of the meeting, the Lord called me to preach tonight. He says, well, you're on tomorrow night. I had never spoken to the group before, and I preached out of 1 John. I remember that. My very first sermon. Well, I come to this Pentecostal Bible school, this Assembly of God Berean, and most of these kids were from Assembly of God backgrounds. They knew all about tongues, all about everything. And I didn't know anything. So I was kind of an odd duck, ugly duckling. So I used to go down at night. And I'm scared of the dark. I don't do good in the dark. I go down to the chapel in the middle of the night and pray, scared to death. Nothing happened. The kids had Jericho marches around me. Nothing happened. So my mother was in a hospital in San Bernardino, would you understand if I say San Bernardino? And I used to go up there every Sunday and visit her. Well, I'd come back on the Greyhound bus. Well, I was in the bus terminal, and I was found out that their schedule was all screwed up, and I had to get back to Berean for Monday morning Bible class. And so I'm praying away. Lord, I've got to get back to the school. And guess what happened? What do you think happened? I began to speak in tongues. See, I got such a cerebral problem up here. People that are cerebral people have a hard time breaking through because their mind is going like this. Well, the Lord had to get me distracted enough that I could relax, and I began to pray in tongues. And I didn't even realize it. That's how upset I was. So the next morning, a cotton picker from Texas named Truman Cumbie and I used to go down before the class in the chapel, and we'd pray for the chapel service. Old Truman would always pray in tongues, you know, and he wouldn't quit. Well, I was there, and it came back to me, and I thought, I wonder if I actually spoke in tongues. And he'd always pray for me, bless Brother Thompson, help him to speak in tongues, and on Truman would go. So I thought, I'll try it. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't do the talking. You do the talking, but he guides you. You speak as you're moved by the Holy Spirit. If you won't speak, nothing's going to happen. God is gentle and the Spirit is gentle. So I thought, I'll try it. So I kind of remembered what it was like, and I launched out. Pretty soon I'm going a mile a minute. And Truman stopped praying, and he listened. He said, oh, Lord, bless Brother Thompson for speaking in tongues. Well, some weeks after that, I wasn't too sure. You know, you can really wonder sometimes, did I just make that up? Is this some kind of self-hypnosis or something? And I was driving down in San Diego, coming to a bridge, and I don't remember what bridge it was, but it was narrow. It just permitted one car. I was almost onto the bridge, and I began to speak in tongues. Just came out of me. And a car whizzed by me on the right. See, he wanted to beat me onto the bridge. And I knew right then that that was real. There was no makeup about that. I just did that automatically out of being upset. So I've been speaking in tongues ever since. And I don't know how people can have a respectable prayer life without speaking in tongues, because you have to keep formulating your words. Now, let's see. I've got to pray for half an hour. Who will I pray for? Well, I'll pray for Uncle Henry. Dear Lord, bless Uncle Henry. What else? There's a place for that. But when you can just let go and just let it out in tongues. See, that's why the Bible says, Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray according to my mind. See, it's the Spirit. Now, I'll show you the reason for the Spirit, for why God baptizes us. So if we can go to Isaiah 28, you'll see. Boy, we're having a long morning. Hey, this is a double header. We better pass the offering. All right. Now go down to where it says, it must be about 8 or 9. It goes down. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast. For it is do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people. And now here's the clincher in verse 12. To whom he said, this is the resting place. That's the key to tongues. It's entrance into the rest of God. The rest of God is the place where you cease from your own works and just flow with the Spirit of God. How wonderful it is to flow with the Spirit of God. As I say, I don't know how people could stand it without being able to speak in tongues. I know I couldn't, because the Spirit utters things I don't even know, you know. All right. In Acts 10:46. Well, Acts 10, speaking in tongues. Peter, I don't know what comes after that. What comes after 10:46? Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. How do they know? They heard them speaking in tongues. See, it was in the Bible, it is presented as an evidence of the baptism with the Spirit. Now, people reason about it. It isn't necessary. In fact, some are saying today you don't really need to get baptized in water. People. You know what's at the basis of that is pride. I think there's two reasons that people resist the Holy Spirit. One is that they've had a bad experience with someone who spoke in tongues or with a church and spoke in tongues. But I think the main reason is pride. Because you see, to speak in tongues, you have to humble yourself. You're no longer in control. You're looking for the Holy Spirit. And pride will keep you right smack dab out of it. It'll keep you from basic salvation, too. But it's very true that speaking in tongues is a humbling experience. And then Acts, what is this, 19:6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, it'll be pretty hard to prophesy without being able to speak in tongues, because tongues and prophecy come basically the same way. As you yield and cease from your own mind and speak by what the Spirit has given you. That's why I said earlier, I'm encouraging you, the palace prophets in the Old Testament, in the palace of the king, there may be maybe 100, 200 of them, all saying, King, go up, yes, and prosper. King, go up, yes, you'll prosper. And here comes poor old Micaiah, one guy. And he said, go up, you're going to die. Now, these 200 palace prophets did not realize they were speaking out of their mind. They thought they were speaking the word of the Lord. But you see, in order to prophesy correctly, you can't just attend church on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, and then go to the movies, to the ball game or something. You have to have a deep experience with the Lord. You have to be in prayer. And that you get down to where you can feel. Like I could feel last night, I could feel the Spirit of God telling me, emphasize Pentecost. And this is what God impressed on me last night. I'm preparing to move. Yes. And when he moves by his Spirit. And people who do not speak in tongues do not know that Spirit. I'm sorry, someone may feel insulted. I cannot help it. 65 years of experience. I'm telling you, they don't know what it means to feel the Holy Spirit of God in them. They know the blood, they know the Bible, they know all this and all that. But to know the Spirit of God, Acts says he gives his Spirit to those who obey him. It isn't something that you just join a church and people prophesy and you feel good. Well, I'd like to do that too. Let me think, search my mind. What can I say? Oh, yes, this is what I'll say. It's got to come from within. I know you love being yelled at. I'm preaching at it. Verse 14, this must be chapter 4:14. I did this in such a hurry. I had a whole different message. And right in the middle of the night, God blew everything apart. 14, it's verse 14 somewhere, probably in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It is, I know it is. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Oh, I follow love. I don't have anything to do with that. Tongues. I follow love. And all the rest of the blather that goes on in the charismatic church. The charismatic church lost it, people. Just get used to it. They lost it. I remember one time David Wilkerson had a nice church, and his dad came in, and he took a pair of dirty boots, and he brought them up and put them on the altar. It's too nice. Church was too nice. The old fire eaters, they did not like that stuff. Nice church, chandelier, beautiful. Yes, Pastor. Oh, a wonderful service, Pastor. That's not God. I hope you get the flavor of what I'm saying. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. It doesn't say you've got a choice. You can go for love or go for the gifts of the Spirit. Both. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries. Now look at, we don't have speaking in tongues here, and I think somehow that's passé. But early days, every service had three or four messages in tongues. Someone holler out in tongues. No one would interpret. Someone else would give a message in tongues. No one would interpret because they didn't know what they were saying. And the person didn't know what they were saying. So we don't do that anymore. But I'll tell you, I'd rather have a whole bunch of people speaking in tongues than nobody speaking in tongues, whether I understood it or not. Anyway, but some are sticklers on this point. But I want you to notice verse 4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. That's poor grammar. The syntax is bad. Well, anyway, you were not interested in that. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. The Greek word is probably oikodomeo, which you get the root as house, builds himself up. Now let me ask you a question. Are you ready for this, Zach? He says he's ready. Now, how many here need to be built up? Pretty near everybody in the house, except those who can't lift their arms. Well, according to 1 Corinthians 14:4, how is one way you can build yourself up? Well, you don't need any other reason. Isn't that sufficient? Well, I'm not rebuking you because you don't speak in tongues. I'm serving God. I'm doing what God told me, and he's telling me right now. He wants you all to speak in tongues. And if you can't, then what do? Notify Stan and tell him I need help. Or you can probably pray through by yourself. You've got to be convinced that it's important, or you're not going to do it. All right. Now, here's one that I have never used in this church, because it scares people to death. It's in Matthew 12, and it's verses 31 and 32. Now prepare to get scared. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. We always in Pentecost said Holy Ghost. Nobody said Holy Spirit. They don't know what you're talking about. This is the King James. Shall not be forgiven unto men. Whoa! Right away the devil will say to somebody in the church, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, so forget it. You're done. Well, that isn't the way God operates any more than you come to the baby in your house and say, well, you didn't go out and sell papers, so forget it. You don't eat, child. God treats us as his children. I'll tell you a story. And this is true. There was a Pentecostal lady who married a man who thought tongues was all nonsense. She lived her life patiently, speaking in tongues, whatever. And he said, tongues is of the devil. Tongues is of the devil. Has anybody ever heard anyone say that? Let me tell you right here and now, you're treading on very thin ice. So this went on for a while. And finally the Lord spoke to the man. And he said, don't ever say that again. You see God's compassion? He put up with it. He saw the wife's godly behavior. And yet he still insisted on saying she was of the devil. And God said, don't say that again. I never heard any more about it, but I feel certain that was the termination of that rebuke to his wife. Now, it says, whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Now, brother and sister, that's heavy. It was God that said that. He didn't say it would be in the lake of fire. See, we've got a mythological view, heaven, hell, and nothing else. If you search the Bible, you find there's all kinds of outcomes. One of them that interests me is in Daniel 12. It says, some shall be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. So this could mean that you're with people, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. If people speak against the Holy Spirit enough, you know, and just defy everything, I believe they'll come to the place where they could never get the baptism. Never get it. It's a fearful thing to know that you cannot be forgiven. Now we have to ask ourselves why this is. Why could you speak against Jesus, as it says, speak against the word, it shall be forgiven? Nothing. But against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. See, the Pharisees were saying, he's casting out devils by the prince of the devils. That's the background for this comment. Now you tell me, why is it more important that we not speak against the Holy Spirit than that we speak against Jesus? It seems like it should be the opposite. Somebody tell me why. I think I've got Zach's interest. I believe I do. Well, Lynn, you got the camera there. Does that tell you anything in the camera? She says, yes, tells her a great deal. Well, Brother Fullerton said, he was an old man, younger than I am now, but he said, the Holy Spirit is the baby of the Godhead. This is a very gentle. It's pictured as a dove, very gentle. And Jesus is saying, you speak against me? Okay, man, I'll get you for that. But for the Holy Spirit, you tread lightly, lightly, lightly. Now don't worry, you haven't blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. But if you have occasion to be with people who say, oh, that's baby talk, or whatever, flee from them, lest it get on you, because they're blaspheming the baby of the Godhead. See, now the Holy Spirit is treated more than just God's influence. When we're baptized into the name of the Father. the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three different persons, and they operate in different ways. So when I'm urging you that do not speak in tongues, certainly anyone in the council or among the elders or anyone with any license, if you do not speak in tongues, seek it. Go after it single-mindedly. Like me down in the Berean Chapel at 2 o'clock in the morning, scared to death. I was in no mental frame of mind to receive the Holy Spirit. It's for you. Now, let's look at something 11. Try, I was in a great hurry this morning. I didn't get anything done. Anyway, this verse is verse 11 somewhere. It's in Exodus 40, I guess. Well, I'll read it to you. Take the anointing oil, that in the old Bible, that represents the Holy Spirit. Take the anointing oil and anoint, listen, the tabernacle and everything in it. Everything in it. The tabernacle stands for the church. And consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. It is the Holy Spirit. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate. God is saying, I want everything in my church anointed with the Spirit. Now, I'm telling you that God is moving in my spirit to enforce this. It has to be. It's not an option. You can't say, it's not for me. He says, all its furnishings. Now, let's look at Exodus 40, verse 12. Bring Aaron and his sons. Now, this was the consecration of the priesthood. And all of us are priests unto God. Find that in Peter. We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. To the entrance of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him, and consecrate him so he may serve me as a priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue throughout their generations. And then in verse 21, and take some blood from the altar. See, the blood atones for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no atonement. The blood atones for our sins, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit makes us priests of God, holy unto Him. That's how important, just how important it is. No matter though, no wonder the Lord was dealing me so hard. And take some blood from the altar and some of the anointing oil. So the oil, anointing oil, the Holy Spirit and the blood were mingled, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. That wasn't a very neat tea party, was it? Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. So you have to have the blood and the Spirit. And in the New Testament, the sign of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. See, it's discredited. Like today, they're saying, you don't have to be baptized in water. What is that? It's because God said so, not because we think it's wise. Speaking in tongues is not only important, it's essential. Now, I've never bore down on... This is my first sermon on Pentecost. It'll probably be my last one. because that's not what God has given me. What God has given me is trumpets and the Day of Atonement and tabernacles, which is all new to the church. But this that I preached to you this morning is old-time Pentecostal preaching. So, like Star Thomas. Oh, I want to tell you about something that happened at Cathedral, and I don't know whether Stan and Lisa were there or not. But Dennis Estill was superintendent at that time, and he called together a meeting of the pastors. I don't know how many were there. It was in the Cathedral of the Valley, the big four-square church in Escondido. Well, he didn't know me at all. He was new to the district. But I was sitting almost under his nose. And so they went around and people talked. And I don't know what all they did. But I finally raised my hand. And I said, Brother Estill. And he said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Bob Thompson. And he said, oh, I went to the hospital to see you. That was when I had my back operation. And he said, you were walking around the ward with a nurse, and I saw you from behind, and I didn't think to disturb you, but I'm glad to meet you. And I said, now, you can't imagine the total impropriety of this action. I said, I think, now here's, I don't know how many, 75 people in the room, all pastors. I don't know if you remember if you were there, Stan, or not. But imagine, can you imagine this? Talk about a wrench of the social situation. I said, I think we're all supposed to stand and speak in tongues for 5 minutes. And I don't even know why I said it. It just came from within me. We're supposed to stand and speak in tongues for 5 minutes. I didn't know what would happen. You know, sometimes you have to launch out if you feel it's the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, that place exploded. Those pastors stood up and prayed out loud in tongues for 5 minutes. It was glorious, glorious. And when we're going out, Joel, who's the son of Coleman, Coleman has passed away, and Joel's a pastor of the cathedral now, he said, see, it's not over yet. And I knew in my heart what God was saying. Don't forget that you're Pentecostal. That was a wonderful experience. Galatians 5:10. I'm almost through here. You must be in shell shock by now. Galatians 5:16. But we had good words this morning. Even if you didn't hear mine, what Larry said was very appropriate. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Well, how do you live by the Spirit? Well, you talk to the Lord all the time. Let's say you're led into a point of temptation, sexually. I mean, you really have opportunities you shouldn't have. You don't know what to do. Pray. Don't yield to the devil. God will put ice on the grapefruit, I'm telling you. Amen. He will really change the atmosphere. Live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. How many do not want to satisfy their sinful nature? Three people. I know you all want. Then speak in tongues frequently. If you go through a whole day and you don't speak once in tongue, you're backslidden. That's all I can say. You're apostate. You're slipping away. Can you just speak in tongues when you want to? Sure. You don't have to wait for a miraculous experience and God to speak out of a purple cloud. You're kind of stirred up. I have one more thing and then I'm through. Bill, you didn't bring your trombone, did you? Well, I didn't tell you, but I wanted to have fanfare at the beginning of the march. And you have to da-da-da-da, whatever you do for fanfare. All right. Here's the last thing. There's a man named Danny Boy. That's not his last name. I don't know what it is. But he's been tracking with me for about 5 years. I mean, he exhorts me at least twice every 2 weeks. He exhorts me. Keep at it. They're all after money. Preach it on. He goes on like this. But he can't get the baptism. He can't speak in tongues. It's the woe of his life is he can't speak in tongues. So he's come to a decision. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come to the church here. And I told Stan about it. I said, Stan, you got to host this guy and get him through to tongues. Now, you may remember Eddie. He isn't here this morning, but Eddie's a friend of Danny Boy. He's from the East somewhere, New York, New England somewhere. And he's flying all the way out here to speak in tongues. He thinks that somehow when he gets to Mount Zion, he's going to be in heaven. Other people have done that and have been disappointed. No, we're just ordinary folk, but I believe there's enough unction here in Stan and the way he does. You see, it takes patience to be with people. They've got to work through all their doubts and fears. I hope, and you all be praying for Danny Boy, whatever his last name. I think he's about 50 years old. And he's determined he's going to speak in tongues. Shall we stand? If you have never spoken in tongues and you want to, you can always come to the altar. I used to pray every day, Lord, I want to speak in tongues. Lord, I want to speak in tongues. You should do that. Father, I have obeyed you. You said to me that you're getting ready to move in a mighty move of the Spirit of God. And you want us to be part of it. You want us to know the Holy One of Israel. Jesus, help us. We want to do your will. We want to do it, Lord. I've done the best I can. So I pray many people in this room will break through to tongues. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you for the answer, Lord. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're going to have communion. You want to take communion at the altar? Bring your family up. It's nice for a family at the altar to take the communion together. And while Lloyd's in the rest. Lloyd, we need some organ music. You may not get it this morning, or you may. You feel a little tickle in your mouth, go with it. You won't get anything of the devil. Don't worry. People say, oh, I'll get something of the devil. You won't get anything of the devil if you're praying to Christ because you want the baptism of the Spirit. You're not going to get anything of the devil. So just put that on the shelf somewhere. People do that. And if you do speak in tongues, don't forget today to practice it. Speak in tongues. Then when the guy tries to cut you off at the bridge, you'll be prepared. Three great platforms, and I've talked about the middle one this morning, Pentecost.